Climate change. It's one of the biggest threats to life on Earth today, yet governments are taking far too long to take action. So what do you do when your home is literally disappearing into the ocean? This is the reality for proud Marshallese slam poet and climate change warrior Kathy Jetnil Kijilna, who will be speaking alongside Ursula Rakova at the All About Women panel, Disappearing Islands. She joins us now. Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
How are you going?
Thank you for having me.
Not a problem. Now, you're from the Marshall Islands in the Pacific, which is about 5,000 k's northeast of Australia. For people who don't know, can you tell us about the threat facing your home?
Yeah, sure. So from what I can understand, because I'm not a scientist, one of the biggest threats is the rising sea level. So the Marshall Islands is only 2 meters above sea level, and there's no mountains anywhere in the island at all. And some parts of the island are so thin and narrow, in fact, that you can see, you can stand in the middle of the road and feel the ocean spray on either side of you. And so we're incredibly vulnerable to the rising sea level. And so the ways in which it's like tangibly impacted our island is every time there's a high tide or a king tide, all of this water rushes over our seawalls and crashes into homes. And then the salt dries out our crops. And it's just a reminder again of the fact that our island is going to disappear very soon. Besides that, we also have extreme weathers. We just experienced one of the worst droughts ever, where people were literally fighting over water because, you know, it's harder and harder to have fresh water resources back home. So these are some ways that we've seen it. And so what we're seeing is that Marsh Islands will definitely be one of the first countries to disappear because of climate change.
Yeah, I mean, you addressed the UN Climate Leaders Summit in New York City about 4 years ago, where you did a powerful poem addressed to your daughter saying you'll fight. That was 4 years ago. Is it frustrating to see, like, nothing has been done with all the inaction from governments?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is really frustrating. You know, our islands are on the front lines, and we can't afford to keep waiting and to, you know, to keep listening to politicians who are just making promises and not following through with them, or politicians who aren't listening at all and who don't believe our stories. So, yeah, it can be really frustrating, but I just try to focus on continuing to do the work and continuing to put the message out there that we are here, that it is real, and that we need to fight now.
Yeah, so you're a slam poet, and recently, for your first poem that you released this year, you kind of spoke about the dome, or the giant nuclear dome that is containing nuclear waste on your home. Can you tell people a bit more about that?
Yes. So the U.S. tested over 60 nuclear weapons in our island, specifically on four, and they've designated that out of those nuclear weapons that only four atolls were affected. So the nuclear weapons, one of them is called the Bravo bomb, and it was 10,000 times more powerful than the Hiroshima bomb. That's how enormous these weapons were that they were testing. On an island called Eniwetok Atoll, they tested nuclear weapons there. And one of the weapons were so powerful that it incinerated an islet called Runit. And in its place was a crater. And what they did was they took all of the waste, the nuclear waste that was in Eniwetok at the time, and they shoveled it all into this crater and capped it with a concrete dome. And now this concrete dome is leaking because of the rising sea level. So what we see is Runit Dome is the perfect example of that kind of intersection between the legacy of nuclear testing in the Marshall Islands and the future of climate change, you know, and how it's impacting our islands now.
Yeah, I mean, God, that's like getting screwed over from like every different direction for you guys. You know, how do you get people to listen in a time like this when climate change deniers are in power?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard because I'm not a politician. I'm definitely an ordinary citizen. For me, what seems to work for me has always been poetry. It's always been poetry and art. Spoken word seems to connect to people in a different way. And so I focus on trying to develop my craft, make sure that I'm telling honest stories that are real, and that and I try to use spoken word to raise awareness on these different issues that I feel like aren't really a normal part of everyday conversation for people who aren't Marshallese. So it's really for a global audience, you know, and what I'm trying to do is, I believe that poetry has that ability to kind of make people connect to the issue on a deeper level, on a more personal level, so that it's not just facts and figures and this overwhelming fear and these issues that are that seem really intangible, but rather it's an emotion that they can connect to.
Yeah. When people read poetry, it's powerful, but what is it about spoken word that just, it's like a punch in the gut sometimes?
I don't know, to be honest. I think it's that, you know, you're kind of, in a sense, you're taking the audience along on this ride, and they feel the levels of emotion that you're with the words that you're saying. I mean, I actually, you know, when I was in college, in my master's program, I studied traditional language and traditional storytelling and traditional chanting in the Marshallese culture. And in our belief, in our traditional belief, words have power. You know, we had chants for us to push canoes into the water, to prepare ourselves for war and to fight. And I think that that still remains true to this day, even though this is this was an ancient belief. I think words have power and they can move people in ways that they don't realize.
Mm. Now, you also have a book out, Yip Jaltok. What is that about?
Mm-hmm. So that's a collection. It's my first collection of poetry to be out, and it's with University of Arizona Press. And it's basically just a collection of poetry about, you know, different kinds of concepts, but, you know, it has issues. It talks about climate change. It talks about nuclear testing. It's about my family. It's about my culture. It's about, you know, westernization, colonization. And it's called Yip Jaltok, but it's also Poems from a Marshallese Daughter. That's the full title. So the idea being I'm so young and I'm still kind of growing into my understanding of the world and of my culture and identity. And I think that's what that collection really captures.
Do you feel like the world is finally listening to minority voices in a way as we get louder?
I think that social media enables us to have a platform to speak in ways that we didn't have before. It enables us to connect to others and to connect to other movements and to other indigenous people in ways that we weren't able to before. And I think that makes us stronger and more powerful because we're not necessarily being manipulated or placed on platforms. You know, that's why I actually appreciate social media in some ways sometimes, you know, because I get to be the one harnessing that power and kind of putting out the stories that I want to be told and sharing, you know, my perspectives honestly and truthfully without being manipulated.
Well, the downside of social media is everyone can have an opinion and attack you for that opinion. Have you had a lot of, like, backlash from it?
I have a bit, yeah. Surprisingly, I feel like it's less than I actually thought there would be. I guess I thought there'd be a lot more, but, you know, I have had quite a few people who have challenged me who say, like, you know, that's not real, or, well, you're flying to do this, or, well, why, you know, all of these ways that, you know, they try to discredit. And I try to engage when I can, but to be honest, like, my audience tends to be really supportive, and it's usually filling a need, you know, that they are craving, that they have themselves, you know, to hear someone speak out on these issues, to make sure that someone's still fighting.
Yeah. Now, you're also speaking with Ursula Rakova from Papua New Guinea at All About Women in March in Sydney. What do you hope people to take away from the talk?
I guess I'm hoping to connect with the other speakers. I have actually never met the other speakers before. I think one is from Carteret Islands, and I would love to learn more about, you know, her work. And then I would love to learn more about, you know, what Australians think. You know, people from Australia think about this issue and you know, interact and hear some more stories about the movements out there. You know, I know that there's a Stop Adani campaign, and I find that campaign really inspirational. So, you know, I would love to learn more about that as well.
Yeah. I mean, we aren't doing great, especially on the Great Barrier Reef front, though, so...
Oh, yeah. So I'd love to actually, learn more even about that as well. So I think there's just a lot of room for, you know, for lessons learned over there.
To play devil's advocate, though, when you are speaking at these talks and these panels, are you just kind of preaching to the crowd? Are you reaching the people that do need to listen, though?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I can't really gauge it. I just try to show up as present as I can. and be as truthful as I can with my stories, and make sure that they're aware, because I think a lot of times people aren't aware of what's happening out in the Pacific, you know, and the ways in which actions that are, you know, policies that are being enacted in one country can affect another small island nation thousands of miles away. And I think I'm just hoping that more people, you know, through these speaking tours, you know, can at least wake up to that reality and can encourage their own legislation, you know, encourage legislation that supports our islands rather than hurts us. So,
well, let's hope it happens sooner than later. But Kathy, thank you so much for joining us here on 2SER today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.